ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We don't have a lot of eyeballs on us as a rugby league club in London, but that's the opportunity. That's also the challenge. That's what we're hoping to, you know, win on the field, but winning off the field's probably more important.
Inspired by Wrexham, powered by unheralded PNG players, NRL legend Darren Lockyer wants to transform the London Broncos. If you think that sounds like an unlikely Venn diagram, you're not alone. And yet that is the dream. Lockyer and his mining industry business partner, Grant Wexel, have bought the perennial basket case that is the London Broncos, and they believe they can turn them around in the same manner that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney transformed Welsh soccer club Wrexham. They've just recruited half a dozen Papua New Guineans to help fuel the aspiration. This story is as unusual as it is fun. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Kyle Evans is a journalist with Radio Australia who has covered this incredible story for the ABC. Kyle, you've interviewed Darren Lockyer. I've spoken to his business partner, Grant Wexel. We're going to pull this story together. And I want to start with rugby league in the UK. It's really a North of England competition. Can you give us a sort of brief breakdown around the London Broncos? Who are they and who have they sort of been from a performance standpoint over the years?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they haven't been a successful team, Patrick. They're essentially a team that's existed in many forms since the 1980s. And I guess to describe them, like the way it was described to me is they're essentially like think of a Black Mirror version of the Melbourne Storm, only if everything went wrong and none of the success. That kind of like sums up the London Broncos to a T. They're this team which has always enticed investors with a lot of money. This idea of, I guess, putting London, which is the biggest city in Europe, into the English Super League and making them successful is always something that, I guess, has rung as this idea for dollar signs for investors. But unfortunately, I guess, much like the Melbourne Storm in some ways and the challenges they've got with AFL, the challenges has come. They've been trying to create success in a city which is just dominated by another football code. In London's case, it's English soccer. So even though the team has been around for a long time and they've spent a lot of time in the English Super League, they actually spent 19 years in the English Super League between 1996 and 2015, they've been absolutely starved from success. And after getting relegated in 2015, they've only spent 2 years in the Super League since then. And it's just gone from bad to worse, unfortunately.
So why has Brisbane Bronco legend Darren Lockyer and his business partner, Grant Wexel, decided to buy this basket case?
Well, yeah, I asked Lockyer that same question, and it's kind of something that wasn't initially on their radar. It just kind of came to them.
This sort of fell across our desk. We looked at it for a few days. We discussed it, and we thought, well, you know, it's an exciting opportunity. Yes, it's got its challenges and it's got its risks with it, but we decided to have a crack.
I guess it appealed to him on a couple of different fronts. The first being that obviously the name the Broncos, which is, yeah, look, let's be honest, is synonymous with Darren Lockyer. But the second, which is the one I think everyone assumes where this is from, is that there's been some examples, as Lockyer said, in recent times of owners with some profile going in and buying up sort of these unsuccessful clubs and then making them successful. Most notably, obviously, Ryan Reynolds and his partner Rob Mack with that fame, you know, that hit TV show Welcome to Wrexham.
Where Grant and I have never said that we're that version. Like it's a similar concept, but we obviously don't have the same gravitas as those guys. But it's the concepts similar, right?
Yeah, as you say, the Welsh soccer team Wrexham, funded and run by Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds. It is the blueprint for teams all across the world. Inject some money, turn the team into a TV show, add a little bit of glitz and glamour and hopefully drive revenue.
Anything can happen in this sport. So why couldn't Wrexham, you know, theoretically make it all the way to the Premier League one day? I mean, this is the place where hopes and dreams are born every day. So why not?
Do you feel like these two carry adequate clout to be the Wrexham of English rugby league?
Look, it's a good question. Like the London Broncos, you know, they haven't been short of high profile owners in the past, right? I mean, you think back to 1996, it was actually Barry Maranta, who was the founder of the Brisbane Broncos, who bought them up and actually renamed them the Broncos. But prior to that, they were the Crusaders, I believe, and they've held various other names. But after Barry, it was actually the billionaire Richard Branson, who owned them. So it's not like this team has lacked high-profile owners in the past, and it's not like they've lacked money. That hasn't been the issue, you know? Like, there's been so many examples of owners just basically trying to buy success for this team. The main issue has always been the fact that London, as a rugby league city, just kind of doesn't work within the UK cultural zeitgeist. It's just such a soccer town. It's just very, very hard to, you know, for it to get oxygen. And look, I think Darren Lockyer knows this, but at the same time, things have changed a lot since, you know, some of these high-profile owners owned this team in the past. Obviously, we live in a digital world now. Things like streaming are much easily accessible, and broadcasting rights are much more easily accessible than they were once upon a time. So I think in 2025, he's sort of hopeful that things have changed enough that he might be able to get some traction. But there also is another element to this, and that's the Papua New Guinea element, which I'm sure we'll touch on at some point.
Let's get into just that. I mean, sport loves a Cinderella story, and the idea of this team being fueled somewhat by PNG athletes is wild, romantic, all at once. There's not a heap of PNG talent who have made it in the NRL over the years. Justin Olam, you know, medically retired recently, comes to mind. Storm star Xavier Coates has represented PNG in Australia. South champion Alex Johnston represented the Kumuls too. Who are some of the players heading to the London Broncos, and how good may they or may they not be?
Well, they're virtually all PNG Hunters players. Their names are Gairo Voro, Epel Kainapis, Robert Mateus, Morea Morea, and Finley Glare. All relatively young, under the age of 25. There is a couple of other players potentially joining them who haven't been named yet, one of which is Nene McDonald, but we're still waiting for confirmation that he is going to sign. But as for the Hunters guys, who I expect to play a lot of minutes, they're all guys who have shown sort of glimpses of brilliance over the last few years, particularly Gairo Voro. I know he's somebody that head coach Jason Demetrio has really sort of penciled in as potentially a long-term Kumuls halfback. The other guy who I personally have always loved is Morea Morea. Now, you might not have heard of him, but he actually exploded onto the Queensland Cup scene a few years ago now, probably back in 2022, and he won Young Player of the Year for the Hunters. And honestly, he reminded me of like a young version of David Peachy combined with Brett Hodgson, because there's not a lot of him, but he just has so much flair.
Oh, Morea Morea. No one is going to stop him. He's on debut.
He's back.
But I guess to go back to I suppose, what Lockyer sees in these guys, all those guys that I just mentioned, while not many people know them in Australia, absolute household names in PNG, which is obviously a huge rugby league nation. And one of the things that Lockyer is going to do, he's currently working on how to get these games streamed back to PNG.
But a lot of people in Papua New Guinea want to watch them play, so we're in the process at the moment just trying to ensure that we can get these games streamed and then get them coming back into PNG so that they can watch their journey.
And that is something that owners who have owned the club in the past have never had access to. And that's one of the things that's limited the London Broncos from ever being successful. It's that fan engagement. It's just not there in London, despite the many millions of people, but it is there in Papua New Guinea.
Kind of interesting to me that some of the best players in PNG might be tied to a London club at a time when the newer NRL team, the Chiefs, are going to be desperate for talent. Do we suspect this talent acquisition would maybe not be welcomed by everyone at the NRL and indeed the new franchise, the Chiefs?
I did pose that question. Actually, I began by posing that question to the PNG Hunters CEO, Scott Barker, because the first thought I had was, yeah, I mean, virtually all these guys played for the Hunters last season, and it just kind of looks like Darren Lockyer has come in and pillaged them. But what I actually found really, really interesting was that not only were the Hunters on board, they actually released some players from contracts just so they could take up this opportunity. I guess one of the things about the Hunters is they really don't believe in standing in the way of opportunities. Like, even though they're a development program, a lot of the decisions they make, they almost would rather move guys along to get them other opportunities, whether that be in NRL teams or NRL programs or other Queensland Cup or New South Wales Cup programs. But from an NRL perspective, I asked Lockyer that question as well.
And, you know, these guys, if they're you know, performing on the field and they're enjoying it and they're playing good footy, it's a stepping stone for them going into what the next level would be, Super League, and then potentially coming back to the NRL and maybe an opportunity with the Chiefs.
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Demetrio has his eyes on that Chiefs job going forward. And if all goes well with the London Broncos, it would kind of be the perfect audition for him to potentially step into that Chiefs job down the track. I don't think this is a case of Darren Lockyer or the London Broncos pillaging the players. I think it's a case of bringing them in, giving them experience, giving them that opportunity to potentially take the next level, which the Super League, if they can get promoted, would provide, but then maintaining a partnership with PNG going forward.
It's exciting. I think a lot of people in Papua New Guinea are excited about it, and we want to connect with the people of PNG and make sure they can watch the journey of the players that have gone over there. And, you know, if it all works well, then there's no reason why we can't continue that.
I think when you look at this holistically, there's actually a lot more to be gained as opposed to lost, if that makes sense.
Grant Wexel declined to tell us how much they paid for this ownership. But as a point of reference, I mean, the Brisbane Broncos, they're valued at more than $120 million. They're the biggest team in the NRL, you know, reigning premiers. Industry sources estimate the Titans were just sold, they would be worth somewhere in the vicinity of $30 to $40 million. But the broadcast deal gives us another layer in the NRL understanding. That is worth $400 million a year. The UK Super League deal is worth about $45 million. So you'd guess a team like the London Broncos would only be worth maybe a couple of million pounds, maybe less. Their salary cap is much less than what we've come to experience in Australia. I just wanted to ask, though, how much would any money these PNG players are commanding at this new club potentially reshape their life?
Well, look, I think most Australians have been to London. We all know how far the English pound goes, and I can promise you it would go a very, very long way in PNG and compared to their currency, the Kina.
But for these guys on the way up, there's certainly an opportunity to earn more money in the short term than you would in the Q Cup or the New South Wales, you know, rugby league at a second tier level here. And obviously earning pounds is a bonus if you're sending it back home too.
It would be absolutely life-changing. There's no doubt about that. I do imagine a lot of these players would potentially be joining the London Broncos on somewhat cheap contracts, which is probably part of the appeal as well. But no, look, there's absolutely no doubt. It would be absolutely life-changing just to go over there. I'm sure they're probably not paying much money in rent and whatnot. And yeah, that money's going to go a long way when they do get back to PNG. But look, you know, I personally hope that for a lot of these players, this potentially turns into a long-term opportunity over there. I think that in some ways would be the more beautiful story as opposed to them going back to PNG one day. But yeah, we'll see.
It's a fascinating story. Kyle, thanks so much for sharing it with us. Appreciate it.
Not a problem at all, Patrick.
Headlines. Minji Lee has won the Greg Norman medal for a fourth time for the best player in Australian golf. It comes off the back of a year that yielded the 29-year-old her third major, the Women's PGA in Texas in June. Her brother Min Woo gave the acceptance speech on her behalf. He's an extrovert and Minji is very much not, so naturally he took the opportunity to lean into that discrepancy of personality.
I'd like to thank the selection panel for continuing to make excellent choices. Your taste is impeccable. Truly elite. To my fellow Aussie golfers, keep pushing, keep improving, because one day, maybe not soon, maybe one day, you might finish close to me. And of course, shout out to my team, my family, and everyone who supports me. You keep me grounded, which is honestly impressive considering how high above the rest of the field I apparently keep finishing. Anyway, I have the best brother ever. Cheers.
Not bad from little brother, not bad. The Australian PGA gets underway this week with Min Woo hoping to claim the event for the second time at Royal Queensland. AFL, where Zach Merritt will not captain Essendon in 2026, officially stepping down from the role after he tried and failed to get traded from the Bombers to bitter rivals Hawthorn. Addressing the situation in a statement, Merritt said, in part, "It's been weighing on my mind around who is the best person to lead this club and group moving forward. And I feel like I've come to the decision that I'm not the right person." Andrew McGrath looms as the most likely candidate to step into the role, although there is a process still to come. The Matildas have got two games before the Asian Cup, and they're going to go down between now and Tuesday against New Zealand. Friday night will kick things off in Gosford. Caitlin Ford, a veteran of the side, told Press they're going to need to get as much as possible out of the game. She also expects Sam Kerr to get some game time. The star striker has been building in her return from an ACL injury with her club side, Chelsea. Ford says Kerr looks fine to her. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the NRL, Sky Sports and Golf Australia for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.